The Index Astartes, a history of the Space Marine Legions and subsequent chapters, where appropriate, up to the 13th Black Crusade. The World Eaters. Of all the Space Marine Legions created by the Emperor to reconquer the galaxy during the Great Crusade, none were more feared than the World Eaters. At the forefront of the bloodiest assaults and most vicious battles, the World Eaters became a byword for bloodshed and terror on a horrifying scale. Kept chained within the deepest dungeon of the Library Sanctus on Terra, the bloodstained pages of the Liber Malum record the fate of those who have trod the path to damnation. To even mention its name is to risk madness. Many other blasphemous heretics and tyrants, whose names sully the pages with their treacheries. But foremost amongst all these damned souls is the name of Angron, Primarch of the World Eaters Space Marine Legion. The legend of Angron is incomplete, and there is much that is not known, or so shrouded in dark legend that the true facts are impossible to discern. How Angron came to be separated from the Emperor so soon after his creation, and the name of the planet he eventually came to call home, is unknown. Indeed, where this planet was, or even if it still exists, is uncertain. Carpinus's Speculum Historiale speaks of Angron's world as technologically advanced, though does not name it, ruled over by a caste of wealthy elites who lived in decadent opulence, while the populace of their cities lived in abject poverty in the slums surrounding their walled palaces. To distract the populace from their daily woes, the rulers of this world held regular death games in colossal arenas with cybernetically enhanced gladiators who battled in mortal combat to satisfy the bloodlust of the people. It was on this world that Primarch Angron was eventually to be discovered, but how he came to be there is unrecorded. However it came to pass, it is known that Angron was discovered by a slaver who chanced upon the bleeding figure of the Primarch, surrounded by scores of alien corpses high in the northern mountains. History does not record to what race these aliens belonged, but many Imperial scholars believe them to have been Eldar, perhaps attacking the Primarch with some foreknowledge of what the future held for him. Angron had been grievously wounded, but was alive, and seeing that all his wounds were to the fore, the slaver realized that Angron must be a formidable warrior. Taken as a slave, Angron was nursed back to health, and bioneural implants were surgically grafted to his cerebral cortex. Relics from the Dark Age of Technology, these would boost a warrior's aggression and strength in battle, and turn him into a frenzied killer. Angron was taken to the planet's capital, where his obvious potential as a gladiator was soon realized, and he was brought by the largest and most patronized arena in the city. The cells below the arena were home to several thousand cyber gladiators, and Angron now took his place amongst them. After only a few months, Angron had gained a bloody reputation as a proud warrior of fearsome skill, with a strong sense of martial honor. He killed hundreds of warriors in single and multiple combats, but those who fought well he spared. Angron was a firm favorite of the baying crowds, and while he appeared to relish the life of a gladiator, he was always plotting ways to escape his life of slavery. He was a troublesome slave, with an instinctive anti-authoritarian streak, and several times attempted to break out of the arena's dungeons. The fighters were held under extremely heavy security, with hundreds of heavily armed guards constantly on duty, and every attempt met with failure. Within a few years, his fame had spread to every corner of the globe, and his reputation as a fearsome killer was well established. Thousands flocked to watch Angron fight, and under his tutelage, the gladiators became deadlier and deadlier, until no other arena's warriors could stand against them. Following another failed escape bid, Angron finally understood that he could not succeed alone. His unbending warrior's code and training methods had made him a well-respected leader amongst the gladiators, and, with the largest death games on the planet rapidly approaching, Angron began planning his most daring escape attempt yet. For these games, Angron was permitted to stage a vast display of battle, involving every one of the arena's gladiators, and, at its height, as the crowd drowned the arena in cheers, Angron's followers turned on their guards, butchering them and fighting their way free. Against soldiers armed with guns, their casualties were horrendous, but nearly 2,000 managed to escape into the city, stealing what weapons and supplies they could before battling their way into the mountains. Angron's army took refuge in the highest reaches of the northern mountains, close to where he had been discovered by the slaver many years ago. The rulers of the planet immediately dispatched a force to destroy the escapees, but woefully underestimated the capabilities of Angron's slave army. Within days, a few pitiful survivors were all that remained of the once proud host, stumbling back to the city, their weapons taken and comrades slaughtered. For the next few years, many such forces were sent against Angron's slave army, and each one was defeated, cut to pieces by the psychotic fury of the cybernetically enhanced warriors. But attrition and hunger were taking their toll on the slaves, and soon they numbered less than 1,000. On a mountain named Fedan Mahor, as darkness fell, Angron was finally surrounded by no less than 5 vastly superior armies, and it looked as though the slave rebellion was finally over. Not even the Primarch could stand against such numbers, and the following day's battle would surely see him dead. It was around this time that the Emperor came to this world, drawn by the psychic aura of the Primarch. The Emperor had observed Angron in secret from orbit for some time, watching with pride as he led the slaves in battle. Now he descended to the planet's surface, offering Angron leadership of the World Eaters Space Marine Legion and a place at his side. But to the Emperor's surprise, Angron refused. His place was here, with his fellow slaves, and he would die before deserting them. Angron and the slaves dug their graves during the night, a signal to their enemies that they would fight to the death rather than surrender. The Emperor knew that even though Angron was a Primarch, he would perish in the coming battle, and bringing his ship into low orbit, teleported Angron away from Fedan Mahor. Without their leader, the morale of the slaves was destroyed, and the following morning, they were slaughtered by the combined armies of the planet's rulers. In space, as the Great Crusade continued, Angron eventually took command of the World Eaters, but never forgave the Emperor for his abduction from the planet, and what he saw as a betrayal of his martial honor. Knowing how effective at boosting a warrior's prowess the psychosurgery could be, Angron ordered the tech marines of the World Eaters to duplicate the process, using the implants in his head as a template. However, the art of this technology's construction had long since been forgotten, and the early attempts at reproducing it were unreliable, often triggering uncontrollable and unstoppable psychotic episodes in the recipients. Eventually, the tech marines were able to construct working implants that heightened aggression and strength, grafting them to whole companies of World Eater Space Marines. Initially, the enhanced companies were highly successful, quickly gaining a fearsome reputation as terror troops. No mercy was offered by the World Eaters, only bloody death at the end of a chain axe. The Liber Malum speaks of whole systems surrendering wholesale rather than face the wrath of the World Eaters. But it was only a matter of time before the Legion's use of psychosurgery on its recruits became widely known. Following the infamous Gahanna Scouring, where an entire planet's population were butchered in a single night of bloodshed, the World Eaters were censored by the Emperor and commanded to cease the use of the implants. Angron paid little heed to this and ordered the work of the tech marines to continue until almost every space marine in the Legion had undergone the ritual surgery. Blood rites became an increasingly important part of the Legion's heritage as their slaughter continued across the galaxy, and it became common practice for space marines to compete in the number of enemy skulls they could take in battle. Many of Angron's brother Primarchs voiced their concerns to the Emperor, and now the Master of Mankind made a fatal error. He dispatched Horus, the most trusted of all the Primarchs, to confront Angron and bring him back into line. Horus was a master psychologist, and, unbeknownst to the Emperor, had already been corrupted by the Chaos Powers. In Angron, he saw a warrior consumed by bitterness and resentment, It was a simple matter for Horus to feed that bitterness, emphasizing the Emperor's betrayal, painting him as a weakling in need of replacing. He told Angron exactly what he wanted to hear. And when Horus eventually betrayed the Emperor, beginning the first galactic civil war, Angron's World Eaters marched beside the sons of Horus. The ferocity and horror once visited upon the enemies of the Emperor by the World Eaters now fell upon the Imperium. The World Eaters fought in the vanguard of every battle, fighting in the bloodiest assaults, preferring to tear the enemy to pieces at close quarters rather than with long-range firepower. Angron's warriors cut a bloody swathe across the galaxy towards Terror, drinking the blood of their victims and taking their skulls in honor of their new master, Khorne, the Blood God. On Terror, surviving vidlogs from the Siege of Terror show the World Eaters breaching the walls of the Imperial Palace, the twisted red form of Angron wielding his glowing rune sword at their head. The World Eaters reaped a bloody harvest on Terror, but ultimate victory was to be denied them. With the Dark Angels and Space Wolves en route to Terror, Horus gambled everything in order to end the siege, lowering the shields on his battle barge and daring the Emperor to come for him. The Emperor rose to the challenge and faced his betrayer in a combat that would decide the fate of the galaxy. The two fought a battle that was waged in every realm, physical, spiritual, and psychic, until at last the Emperor slew Horus, but only at the cost of his own humanity. Without the great betrayer to bind them, the Chaos Host disintegrated and fled the planet. Angron was the last to leave, leading the World Eaters deep into the Eye of Terror. The battle had been lost, but the war would go on. He and his warriors had all eternity to seek revenge. Homeworld. The homeworld of Angron remains a mystery to this day. No known record exists of where the Emperor encountered Angron, and none of these histories scanned by the scribes on Terror appear to match the description given in the Speculum Historiale of Angron's world. Scholars postulate that Angron himself may have returned to his homeworld upon the outbreak of the Horus Heresy and destroyed it to avenge the death of his fellow slaves. It is certainly true that the World Eaters destroyed a number of worlds, seemingly at random on their bloody advance to Terror. But whether one of these was his homeworld is a riddle that only Angron knows the answer to. With the heresy ended, the World Eaters fled to the Eye of Terror, the Legion swiftly degenerating into roving bands of Chaos Renegades. As such, they have no particular base or homeworld. Each warband, operating from whatever craft they can lay their blood-stained hands upon. Combat Doctrine. The World Eaters have only one desire: to slay their enemies in close combat and take their skulls for Khorne. To this end, the Legion cast aside their long-ranged weapons and took up the chain axe and pistol. The thirst for blood and slaughter has become such an overpowering need to the World Eaters that when battle is joined, they rampage across the battlefield, roaring the name of Khorne, all strategy and tactics forgotten in their thirst for bloodshed. In combat, these frothing madmen are ferocious warriors who will fight to the death, knowing that their blood is as welcome to Khorne as that of their foes. Truly, it is said that the World Eaters' credo is victory or death. Organization. Banished to the Eye of Terror and tied forever to the worship of Khorne, the blood rituals of the Legion became an ever more important part of the World Eater's daily lives. Mighty oceans of blood filled in his praise. The legendary tactical organization of the Space Marines broke down, washed away by the years of slaughter that followed. As more and more of the Legion's officers and champions were possessed by demons or became mighty Chaos Champions, the last vestiges of discipline and organization fell away. The once proud Space Marine Legion was reduced to howling berserker killers, thirsting for death and bloodshed. After the night of madness on the demon world of Scalathrax, when a champion named Khan turned on his fellow World Eaters, the Legion tore itself apart in a day-long slaughter, becoming nothing more than roving bands of renegades, endlessly questing for battle and death. Such bands vary enormously in size, From single champions, small squads, to company-sized forces, capable of untold destruction. The champions who lead these marauders will fight alongside any other Chaos Lord who is gathering his forces, asking for nothing more than a chance to spill blood in the name of Khorne. But even a Chaos Lord must be weary lest his head be added to the tally of skulls. The Cleansing of Arigata. During the heady days of the Great Crusade, the boundaries of the Emperor's space were continually being pushed back by his Primarchs. Many worlds welcomed the arrival of the Emperor's armies, while others foolishly resisted. Arigata was a technologically advanced world that had been isolated from the Imperium for many centuries, and when Imperial envoys arrived bearing word of the Emperor's return, they were executed in a bloody gesture of independence. The military might of Arigata was formidable, and thus the honour of its pacification fell to warriors from no less than three legions: the Lunar Wolves, the Ultramarines, and the World Eaters. The Emperor's Warmaster, Horus, was in overall command of the force, and under his masterful generalship, the armies of Arigata were quickly subdued, until only the Basalt Citadel, seat of the planet's rulers, remained in enemy hands. Imperial forces laid siege to the Citadel, but the pacification was taking too long for Horus's liking. He wanted to be away from this world to seek further glory. To quickly end the siege, he bombarded the mighty walls of the Citadel from orbit, ordering Angron and the World Eaters to storm the breaches created and slay the enemy leaders. The walls of the Citadel had been forged during the Dark Age of Technology, and despite a week-long orbital bombardment, only a single breach was made. Rebute Gilliman cancelled caution, but neither Horus or Angron were willing to wait. Angron threw the World Eaters at the walls of the Basalt Citadel, a firestorm of lasers and bullets wreaking bloody carnage among their ranks. The World Eaters were undaunted, a ramp of corpses allowing them to finally crest the breach, and once within the Citadel's walls, the battle-maddened Space Marines slew everything that came within reach of their chain axes. The ancient halls echoed with terrifying screams for a day and a night as the World Eaters rampaged through the Citadel. And when Angron finally led his warriors from the Charnel House, not a single soul remained alive within. When the Ultramarines moved in to secure the Citadel, they were horrified at what they discovered. The chambers and vaults of the Citadel resembled a madman's abattoir. Dismembered corpses lay where they had fallen, and the stench of death was an almost physical thing. No one had been spared. Every living thing had been butchered in the World Eaters' fury. By the time the appalled Ultramarines left the Citadel, the World Eaters and the Lunar Wolves had already departed, leaving the Ultramarines to garrison Arigata until the Imperial Army arrived. Before Gilliman was able to confront his brother Primarchs regarding the massacre on Arigata, the heresy erupted. Both Horus and Angron spitting on their oaths of loyalty to the Emperor, and Gilliman's worst fears were confirmed. Beliefs. There is only one thing the World Eaters believe in: the spilling of blood. The sole purpose of their existence is to kill and to shed blood in the God's name. Whether that blood comes from a foe, an ally, or even their own veins, it matters not. All that matters is that the pile of bloody skulls laid at the brass throne of Khorne grows ever larger. Gene Seed. After countless millennia raiding from the Eye of Terror, the Gene Seed of the World Eaters has been contaminated beyond redemption. Many suspect that Angron's Gene Seed was corrupt from the start, and the World Eaters were damned the moment they were created. Others point to the known history of Angron and insist that his legion could have been saved had the signs been noticed earlier. Whichever is correct, the Space Marines of the World Eaters have a physical need to shed blood and kill, a driving imperative that sends them into a berserk fury of unrestrained, bloodthirsty psychosis. So strong is the desire to kill that the World Eaters will turn on one another to satisfy their bloodlust should no other foe present itself. Battle cry. Blood for the Blood God. Khan the Betrayer. Equally cursed and revered among the World Eaters, the name of Khan stands as a legend amongst those who would kill in the name of the Blood God. Khan was to earn the title Betrayer on the demon world of Scalafrax with a supreme act of slaughter. Here, the Legion was finally sundered when the World Eaters clashed with the Emperor's children through the planet's storm-lashed cities of black rock and ice. City after city fell to the berserk assaults of the World Eaters, blood pouring through the streets as fire and lightning split the sky. As the battle continued to rage, the freezing Scalafrax night began to draw in, bringing certain death to all those not in shelter. Time and time again, the Chosen of Khorne hurled themselves at the Emperor's children, slaughtering the hated foe, until forced to halt their attack as darkness fell. Freezing storms scoured the canyons of the city bare of life, both forces sheltering from the deadly man-killing cold. A champion, named Khan, screamed his frustration to the skies as the Legion paused in its attack, demanding that he be allowed to continue the killing. Furious with his fellow warriors for sheltering while there were foes yet to slay, Khan took up a flamer and turned its incandescent death on his fellow berserkers, and those who tried to stop him he cut down with his shrieking chain axe. He strode through the burning city, his blood-spattered armor glowing with unnatural balefires as he burned friend and foe alike. As the flames spread to the rest of the city, the Legion tore itself apart, berserkers fighting each other and the Emperor's children for what little shelter remained. Like an avenging angel of death, Khan burned and hacked a bloody path through the flaming ruins of Scalafrax, the living incarnation of the Blood God himself. And from that day forth, the World Eaters were broken as a Legion, becoming scattered bands of berserk warriors, forever in search of death. Khan now stalks the Eye of Terror, an avatar of blood-soaked butchery, who has never tasted defeat. And only the most insane warriors dare to fight alongside him, since few who do so ever survive.
All I see is red!
Ah, the World Eaters, one of my favourites, Angron as well. The Primarch book, I don't know, I think I did a review at the time and I said it was alright, but it kind of just felt a bit superfluous. I mean, I know there's the whole thing with him, you know, having this psychic gift for sharing others' pain, that sort of stuff that obviously got corrupted by his life and his existence and the Butcher's Nails and everything. But I don't know, it's still a good character and I really enjoy him. I really like what they do with him later on as well. And I like what I've seen in the Heresy. It's added some richness to him. But Khan is the real hero. The anti-hero, I suppose. The main character of the World Eaters. He's the one you relate to the most. And the stuff they've done with him in 40K later on is amazing. I mean, is it called Betrayer? I can't remember. There's the audio book. It's quite short. But it's about Khan. And it's just like his inner thoughts as he's slaughtering these people. The inner peace and calm he has as he goes crazy. You get me? Like, and it's so good. It's so good. Maybe not inner peace and calm, I don't know. But it's like, it's really good. It's like his view on the world. And yeah, I cannot recommend that enough. If only I could remember what it was called. Yeah, the World Eaters, fantastic. They are one of my favourites. And again, you know, Khorne, the worship of Khorne has a certain kind of honour and dignity to it. And it's a reason why he's one of the oldest gods as well, obviously, because it's coming from that, the war being such an essential part of the human experience, you know, bloodlust, conflict. And it's embodied in the Space Marine Legions in this way of berserker fury. But, you know, you can see how people fall to Khorne and worship it in a way that they might not realise, you know, the honour of the kill, personal combat, personal honour, even though it's whirling chain axes and crazy berserkers. Rah! All I see is red! It's still got a certain... There's a certain simplicity there, which is quite appealing to me. Anyway, maybe that says more about me, eh? Anyway, thank you all for supporting the channel. You can see your name scrolling by as I go by. If your name doesn't appear on here, it's probably just because I've made this a few days before you've... You know, you've supported the channel. So I know I've had a few people ask because I've had a few extra people join recently. It's just a timeline thing. Eventually your name will go on the list. It just depends when I happen to make the video or not. Anyway, thank you all very much again. Yeah, and please do like the video. I'll be back soon with even more. Again, this is like older lore. So, you know, a lot of the details are a bit off. But again, like I've said many times, best of view of these Index Astartes things are sort of like the Imperial version of events, what they know happened or what they're willing to tell people happened, if you get me. So yeah, that's how to view them, I think. Anyway, I'm rambling. I'm going to go. Bye-bye.